welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean.
Here we are again.
Uh-huh.
Me and my mouth. I actually had somebody tell me that the other day.
I should swear like a sailor.
I believe what was said was the mouth on you.
If they only knew you.
Right? And I didn't even say that much.
Yeah, a lot of times, like...
And I was trying to be funny.
I feel like... this happens to me a lot, too, where, like, people are surprised that, like, I'm as...
Sweary?
Or not sweary. I mean, I guess sweary, but also I'm as witty.
That's true.
And funny as...
You could come off like a lumbering character. Maybe like a lurch.
Hey, Bruce Dern called me lurch.
I know.
I will cherish that forever. He's like, because we were trying to record with him and stuff like that, and just, you know, I'm sitting there like fiddling stuff. He's like, hey, lurch. And I was like, all right.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you're with people you don't know, you're kind of quiet. Yeah. You're a bigger dude.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm a lot bigger than I give myself credit.
Right. You're like 6 feet tall, and usually you've got like a shaved head, which can be kind of intimidating for some people, and then they don't realize that, you know, you're not terrifying.
No, I'm a good dude.
I know.
I've had it before where people are like, oh, you're kind of chill, you know, and I'm like, I could be, you know, chill, but
you just look intense.
But then there's points where, yeah, I mean, I look like you're not going to fuck with me.
No, especially like when you've got your head like totally shaved and you've got like serious cheekbone going on, you really do look like some sort of Slavic mobster.
Slavic mobster.
No, you really do. You just look like you work for some mob.
You know what's funny is I got caught up because in relation to our book that we're talking about today, I was looking at a lot of random ass 1970s and 80s action figure lines. And you have like a lot of them where just like people are, you know, there's a lot of like the main character, but then they have like, but it's this kind, you know? So it's like Rambo, but like Action Assault Rambo or whatever. Oh,
isn't that regular Rambo?
Yeah. Or like Quick Draw Rambo or, you know.
Is he dressed like a cowboy?
Yes. He puts on, it's just him with a hat.
He's wearing chaps.
He's just got a chap. He's like, hey, yeah, chap.
Chaps and a bandana.
But it's still just regular ass Rambo.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, okay, shoot. And but yeah, I just figured that like Slavic mobster Sean Merrick would be a great variation on the Sean Merrick character.
It really would.
The action figures.
It would. It'd be great.
Which would it would just be like I would, if I'm gonna be an action figure, I'm gonna be one of the Remco ones.
Okay.
The ones that they look like the cheap knockoffs.
Oh, good. The ones that, like...
Well, I mean, here. You know what I'm talking about?
I know, like, the cheap knockoff ones that you're talking about that are an actual figure, but you're like, this isn't a knockoff?
But they're like, the ones that they're, like, built, like... There's, like, basically...
Was it, like, the King Kong Bundy one you showed me the other day?
No, not that. Here, continue to hypothesize. Oh. And
is it... Like, if I took the top of a superpower and combined it with the bottom of, like, a tiny G.I. Joe?
No.
Oh.
No, it would probably be more like this.
Oh, man, you are ripped to shit.
I would just be ripped.
Look at those thighs. That is ridiculous.
Right.
You know those cows that have double muscles?
Yeah.
That's what that guy looks like.
Yeah. But it would just be my regular head, like a rubber head that you could squeeze. and I would just have my regular clothes on, and you would just get different variations of that because you just keep repainting that shit.
Oh yeah.
You know, shitty figure of me with like, you could maybe give me like a different rubber head or give me a different
hat. Where your thighs look like they have tumors.
Yeah. Yeah, people would just be like, oh, look at that. I got, you know, Slavic mobster Sean. And then I got, like...
Hero Sean.
I've got work at home Sean, you know.
Work. Does that come with a cat that will not leave you alone?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just accessory is just called cat. And it's just a plastic lump.
Well, and it's like a magnet, and it just, it gets stuck
in your hand. Yeah, it'd be great if it sticks to me. And yeah. You can even get, like, and actually I would kind of prefer if there was, like, other variations of me through the years, so you can get, like, MTV intern Sean.
Oh, yeah, could we also get that, your Twitter handle, Sean?
Twitter picture Sean. I like it. I'm really excited for this new toy line.
What about, 2003, The Edge, Sean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, when I had my... I got rid of the mustache, but I had L-shaped sideburns.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. Let's get that one.
Yeah, you got the you got radio making minimum wage, Sean.
Could we have graduate student Sean?
Well, that would have to become in this third series.
Oh, okay.
And you'd come in that series.
I get to come in the series? Yeah, am I like an accessory or am I my own?
You just get like a really billowy like shirt and like hair.
Here, if we're talking graduate school, Sean, this would also mean graduate school, Jen. So this is back in Boston. So we're talking triangles of frizz because the humidity in Boston was so cruel to my hair.
Just give me your action figure.
Oh my God, that's totally me. Yeah, I just look like a doll somebody chewed on.
I showed her a picture of the Remco AWA Precious action figure, which. Looks like a squat Barbie doll, but you have golden gloves. And you can just basically make your hair dark, you know.
Like, yeah, just make it dark.
Make it dark.
Because that's pretty much what my hair was when we lived in Boston.
The hair is accurate.
Because no matter what I did, it was just frizz. Just constant frizz.
Also, I get to see you enjoying that shirt.
What, like that
golden
thing?
Shirt? Yeah, do you want this gold shirt?
Oh, yeah, I'd wear that.
Yeah, you can wear that. Yeah, I think that's a good Gen.
I like shiny.
That's a good Gen figure.
Oh, man. How fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's some good shit.
Yeah.
But we did do a little bit more shopping.
We did. Yeah. Heidi Ho had a 10-cent sale. And Heidi Ho is now owned by the same people who own Jeffrey's Comics.
Yeah.
Heidi Ho's over in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they were having a 10-cent sale, and we're like, you know, the inventory might be whatever was left over from Jeffrey's, but they might have more stuff, so why don't we go check it out?
Yeah, Heidi Ho's is Heidi Ho's is a great store.
It's a great place.
It took me a while to warm up to it, I think, ever since the guys from Jeffrey's took over.
Yeah, when the first time we went in, it was a little bit weird, because it was hard to find stuff, and stuff was high, like, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
it was, like, very tall, and you're like, well, I'd like to look at those books, but they're all the way up there.
The way that they had it was they would have the old way was they had these, like, shelves of, like, with these wooden crates full of comics, which is what they usually keep the ones when they put them up for 10 cents. Like, that's how they put them in.
I do like those wooden boxes.
I do like them, but they were putting them up, like, in higher elevations where it's, like, that's not really safe. And easy to look at.
Well, I mean, even so, like, Sean and I are not short people.
No.
We are tall people. So for me to go in a store and go, that's too high for me.
Yeah.
They're really fucking high. So I was just like, forget it.
But since they changed over, the store looks a lot different. And it's easier to find stuff.
Yeah. It's easier to look at stuff.
Yeah. And everything's really.
They've got a bunch of, like, game tables now. So if you want to play, you're going to.
Well, they also do stand up there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty diverse store in terms of stuff, and it's in a great location.
And they've got a lot of floor space. It's kind of a big place.
And the great thing, too, is that their parking lot, well, at least when they do the parking lot sale, it's in the back where it's not really a parking lot. That's just the back part of the store.
Yeah.
Or the back lot of the store where they could just be like, okay, well, we're just going to have our sale here.
Yeah.
Whereas opposed where Jeffrey's, you know.
You have to do the front.
They have to do the front, and it has it's a very crowded parking lot. Yeah. You know, so this was a lot better. As far as the selection goes, I mean,
it was all right.
I think it wasn't there for some reason. The past couple of times we've been going there, like, a lot of the selection has been more towards the closer from like 2000 on.
Yeah,
like nothing really, you know, before the turn of the century.
Yeah,
I mean, there's stuff there, but
sure,
it wasn't,
but it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't. You know, it's not my sweet spot. I think what I told Sean is there's a place down in Tustin that we've gone to.
Yeah.
And every time we've gone to their sales, it's always like, late 70s shit. And I'm like, we need to go. Next time they have a sale, I want to go.
Yeah, I think we'll have to go and check them out. They're a pretty good store.
Because
Comics, Toons, and Toys.
Yeah, like. I want to go there because they had all sorts of, like, old shit. And that's more my jam. But as always, when I did not find anything that was my jam, in the 10 cent stuff, I went and looked at their other bargain bin.
Yes.
Because they have one inside. It's 99 cents. They have $1.99. And that's where I found some stuff, including what we're going to read today.
Yeah.
Which I did not know existed until I found
it. I think I knew, but I didn't. It just kind of, I was glad to see it. What I ended up getting was a bunch of Justice League Task Forces. I decided to fill up on those because it's 10 cents. And I was like, I'll spend $1.
Yeah.
And I can fill up on these, you know, and then I can fill up on, I found another issue of the Justice IV Balance, which we're going to read.
Mm-hmm.
Because what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's some 90s New Warriors bullshit that I feel finally actually fits something that I care enough to do on the show.
Yeah.
Also, I bought a Marvel Comics Presents, which accidentally had what's his fucking face? Impossible Man.
I hate Impossible Man.
I didn't realize because on Marvel Comics Presents, like, you know, the for most part, it's they've always been they're dual sided covers. So like on the back side is the cover that corresponds with the two stories that whatever, and then you flip it around and it's the other two stories. And I didn't realize it was on the back, and had I known, I wouldn't have fucking bought it.
Yeah.
But it had the Beast in it, and I was like, oh, Beast is in it. He has sweet, yeah, and this well, one, he has sweet Duran Duran hair.
We're the one. Read the one.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah. Because that's like the other day, I think I picked something up when we were, I think it was when we were Jeffries, and I was like, oh man, here's this cool Action Comics, or it was a Superman one of the two, I can't remember. But it had Terra Man. Fucking hate Terra Man. I was like, nope, put that right back.
Yeah, you're really against Terra
Man. I can't stand him. I have a ton of stuff with him in it. I don't like him. I'm just like, no more Terra Man. So I just put that right back.
I like your anti-Terra Man stance.
I have no Terra Man for me. But I did buy, I think, a Detective Comics that has the Mad Hatter on the cover.
Yeah, I like
it. And he's throwing actual hats at Batman and Robin.
It's funny because it's from 87, but it's like, it's just like, but
it just looks so fucking weird.
It's just a hokey ass cover because it's like Mad Hatter's back and he's angrier than ever and it's just like throwing hats at Batman and Robin.
Yeah, he's got like a mustache and you're like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he's gritty for the 80s.
Yeah,
man.
So you're like, all right,
I'm looking forward to that one.
That one's going to be crazy. And then I got I think it's an Action Comics.
Yeah.
Where Clark Kent becomes a magician. He could become Magic Kento or something.
Whatever.
And he has a Superman puppet.
What a turd.
And I'm like, I have to buy this. I can't leave a Superman puppet behind.
Yeah. So. No, you can't. And then there was also, I got Terror Inc.
Oh,
but it was from like a Marvel Max series. So it's like,
that's
this
a
really...
nightmare. I saw the cover and I was like, what in the fuck is
and
this?
And I read it and it's one of those, I find myself picking up on a lot of dystopian, culture and things that I'm just seeking out, not realizing it's dystopian.
Well, that's because we live in a dystopia.
But it's bothering me because I don't want to look it up like that. Like, I want to try to look for things that keep me like motivated and happy.
Oh yeah,
I was just like
read about now, and you're like, no.
Well, because I was reading because there was that and that one. You know, this Terror Inc. thing is about like a fucking plague. You know, and Terror Inc. and it's wacky. And then there was I picked up a 2099 Unlimited where the first story has Hulk 2099 in it, and it's basically about how a fucking like a nuclear thing went off in the middle states and a bunch of people are trying to cross over to California because apparently California, which was separated by a moat.
Oh shit, we have a moat?
We have a moat.
Oh, okay.
And we were separated by a moat.
There's no way there'd be water in that moat.
Oh no! What they don't know, you know why? No, check this out. What they did was they did an
is it the ocean?
They did a controlled explosion fault line thing to bring the water from the ocean into this man made moat.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How does a radioactive fallout stop in a moat?
Well, no, it doesn't stop because it's far enough away. I guess apparently it was far enough away that people that were trying to leave it and try to, they're just basically doing like the Oregon Trail to California.
Yeah, yeah.
But the problem is the moat is dividing them from California because apparently California takes care of people better. And in this new reality of 2099, and they try to cross over into the moat, and there's fucking turreted gun robots that pop up and just start mowing people down.
Do you think Trump read that and he was like, I want a wall?
Yeah. Oh, don't let him read this.
You know what? Fuck the wall. I want a moat.
He's going to get turreted. Well, first of all, not only
also
is there
turreted guns.
There's not only they're turreted guns, but there's also a thing in there that apparently the scientists threw in some electromagnetic charges that were sentient and somehow created what was known as a hydro monster.
Oh.
A hydro man or hydro god, water god.
Oh. Okay.
He's a water god, and it's basically just a water god that gets up and he's like, haha, fuck you, Hulk 99. You can't kick my ass because I'm made of water. Mm-hmm. And eventually, Hulk 2099 goes up to the top of a mountain and he freezes the water god and punches him.
Oh.
And that's how that ends. But that's a thing, man. It's like, don't let Trump read this shit.
Well, I don't think we have anything to worry about. One, Trump doesn't read.
You don't think he's read a stupid comic book and said good idea?
Probably not. And number two,
he would have to trust a scientist, which he doesn't do. So I don't think we have anything to worry about.
Yeah, I know. I don't think he's going to. Yeah, I think he's just going to be like, we're going to get people
fake
the
news. Oh, just build another wall. Make sure it's see-through so people can throw drugs over it and not get hit in the head.
Oh, God. Hey, free podcast, folks.
Jesus.
Hey, whatever. No, I'm sorry. That's the first time I have to think because I read that and I'm just like, oh, man, this sucks. And then.
Like that California's like, now we have our own wall. Fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah, California didn't give
fuck
a shit.
Fuck you.
California. And the funny thing is that apparently Hulk 2099 is from Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
He's like, I'm from Hollywood, and he's like, apparently.
Did he go to Hollywood High School, like, right then?
I think he did. I think he graduated along with Dakota Fanning.
That, you know what? Every single time I see that school, where is it? It's on Sunset and.
Sunset and Highland.
Highland?
Yeah.
There's a fucking high school there. It's a public school.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I see it, I'm like, that can't be real. But it is. Like, people, like, kids go to school there.
Like, movie stars go there.
Well, yeah, like. Some famous old actress went there.
Well, I know Dakota Fanning was actually going
there. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, like, but some, like, back in the 40s, there was, like, another one and stuff. Because it's been around forever. But I always look at it and go, how do you learn anything? Like,
I don't know.
Because literally one block up is, like, the fucking Walk of Fame and, like, shit. Like, how are you just, like, I guess I'll sit in this classroom all day? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I'd be fucking losing my goddamn mind.
I know. I'd be like, oh, you know what? I don't want to be here. Let's all walk up to... You know,
I would,
the walk. Let's go walk up to the what's that center up there?
Beverly Center?
No.
Oh, the Highland Center.
The Highland Center, where it's got like all the shops and shit.
Oh yeah, no, it's such a congested, busy, crazy area.
Yeah.
In that particular area, and I'm like, man, how do you figure that out?
I guess because it's just like normal, but for me, like, I literally went to school in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
They were just like, hey, let's build a school that looks like a prison and dump it in the middle of nowhere.
Your school does look like a prison.
It did, yeah.
You've driven by before, and it's like literally like...
And it's in the middle of nowhere.
A square building on a hill.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It was built in the 70s, so it looks like a prison. And it's in the middle of nowhere. If you would like to drive to like the nearest fast foodery, it's a good 25 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
So hope you don't mind sitting in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
So, yeah.
But then I was going to say about... Was I going to say something about his... Something?
Oh, about Hulk living in Hollywood?
Yeah. Oh, actually, no. Yeah, he just...
Yeah, no, never
mind. No, he just lives there.
He's just there.
Well, no, that's right, because I took a picture.
Just lives there.
I took a picture on Instagram, because it's something about, like... He's like, fam... Because the woman... Oh, yeah, because that's right. Because the woman that he saved, some woman, and she's like, you got to save my family. He's like, family... Yeah, I'm from Hollywood, and family, the only time they bring up that concept is when they want to make money off of it. And I go, Hulk just wrote Fast and Furious 2099. And then I tag Vin Diesel and The Rock.
That's funny.
And I'm really hoping they see it.
Oh, man, you're going to get blocked from both of them.
Fuck yeah.
You already got blocked by Hulk Hogan on Twitter.
I'm trying to get blocked by people that donate, that just for like random occurrences like that.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that's my thing. I don't mean to do it. It just happens.
Sean's thing, getting blocked by people.
I'm just getting blocked by people without even, just like, because Hulk Hogan blocked. I mean, he must have been pissed.
I don't even remember what you tweeted.
I probably just tweeted some random ass shit. I probably just tagged him in some random ass shit. Probably said something about his sex tape that probably he's heard a million times before.
Yeah, but I don't think you said it on Twitter, did you?
Oh, no, I would say it on Twitter because I would promote I Could Talk Kayfabe. And maybe I posted something. Or maybe it was said in the podcast and maybe he listened to it.
I doubt it. Maybe he was just like, oh, fucking Marks, and he just blocked you.
But yeah, I mean, you would think he would do that to like a lot more people.
Maybe he does. I mean, you don't know how many people he blocked.
I don't know.
Maybe everyone is blocked. Maybe Hulk Hogan only sees like four people's tweets.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, why me? Because now, okay. I mean, look, yeah, he's a shitty dude. He did turn out to be a shitty dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a scumbag. It's cool.
Yeah, but we do reference him a lot on our show. So
yeah.
I'm having a conflicted deal with Hulk Hogan lately.
I'm sorry.
Because
it happens.
Just because
we all have conflicted feelings about famous people.
Yeah, because he's a shitty dude and that, you know, and he's racist.
Mm.
But at the same time, we're going through these magazines and we're just seeing all these pictures. We're like, God damn, he's so fucking cool looking.
Well, yeah, and he was a great wrestler.
And he was great as a pro wrestler. I mean, that his body of work stands head and shoulders above everybody else. And
he was like one of the first superstars of wrestling.
as far as like people for my generation, our generation, yes. And so it's hard to be like, you know, ah, fuck that
I mean,
guy.
Shit, I even remember Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, everybody.
And I, yeah, that's the thing. Everybody remembers him. I mean, he did toys and all that sort of stuff. And he was really the first like modern superstar.
Yeah.
Because you had Bruno Sammartino before that or whatever, but he didn't have tie-ins.
No.
He didn't have a fucking spaghetti restaurant. He was just a wrestling
guy. He might have. But he was definitely mafia friendly.
Is that a nice way to say Italian or like really shitty way to say Italian?
Well, no, I'm not saying it's not something to do with Italian. I mean, it's just a, it's a given that he's an Italian. That's yes, obviously a true thing.
He is my people.
He is your people, but he's not. He was definitely mafia friendly.
Hmm.
You know, I feel that. I don't know if he cared so much about the mafia. So I'm saying the mafia was like, Bruno, we got you.
Oh, well, of course.
You know,
you got to support your Italian friend there.
Yeah. You know, but yeah, I know. It's, man, I'm having.
Having feelings.
Having thoughts.
It's okay. We all have thoughts.
Well.
And feelings.
Real quick, did you want to talk about Gotham by Gaslight?
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. We watched it again.
We watched it. We finally watched Gotham by Gaslight. I don't know if finally it just came out, but it was streaming. We saw it. And I enjoyed it. I did like it. I liked having a Batman story that didn't have to tie into all the other animated movies.
Yeah, that was kind of nice.
That was really nice. I love that there was no fucking Damian Wayne in this fucking movie.
And you know what's funny is they couldn't have had a trace of him. They could have put him in there, but they didn't. Nope.
I don't think he's in the graphic novel. It's been a long time since I've read it.
Well, the graphic novel, I think, came out way before the character.
Yeah,
the character
it did.
Was around, so.
But I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed like a different take on Batman.
Yeah.
So
basically, it's Batman up against Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
Which, you know, for all intents and purposes, is pretty rad.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool. And you're like, oh, this is fun. This is kind of like a steampunky, like, turn of the century, Victorian, you know, thing. And it's got Batman and Catwoman and all these people. And it was nice. Again, it was nice to see something that didn't have to tie into the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, if you could track it down, you know, streaming or wherever you want to watch it on DVD, it's worth it. It's worth a watch.
Yeah, worth a watch for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, I guess we'll take our break and we'll come back and we'll talk about our book for the week.
R. What does that stand for?
Robin.
Hello, everyone. This is Rob Myers, and I'd like to invite you to check out my podcast called Robin, Everyone Loves the Drake.
Rob, are you going to take out the trash?
I'm right in the middle of recording an ad for my podcast. I'll do it in just a little bit, okay?
Sorry to interrupt. Boy Wonder time.
Boy Wonder? I'm all man, lady.
Rob?
Okay, where was I? That's right. My podcast, Robin, Everyone Loves a Drake. It'll be hosted over at thebatmanuniverse.net. I'll be covering Tim Drake's origin story from the very beginning, starting with Tim's first appearance in Batman 436, also known as Batman Year 3, and hopefully going all the way through the Robin ongoing series, starting with issue 1, going all the way to issue 183. 183 issues? Wow. Well, it's a good thing, because everyone loves the Drake.
You don't like the Drake?
I hate the Drake.
I love the Drake.
How could you not like the Drake?
Who's the Drake?
Who's the Drake?
The Drake is good.
Oh. All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. It is Chuck Norris Karate Commandos. Actually, I think it's just technically Chuck Norris. But the story...
Shouldn't it be Chuck Norris and the Karate Commandos? But it just says Chuck Norris Karate Commandos.
Yes.
Mm.
But Chuck Norris, Karate Commandos, Commandos is spelled with a K.
Yep.
And this is technically a Marvel comic.
Yes.
But it's under the Star Comics imprint, which for folks that may not be aware of Star Comics, they were basically a mid-80s imprint in which there were focus was on younger audience.
Yes.
Like a younger cartoon audience that may have not have been ready for, let's say, G.I. Joe or Transformers.
Right. But I think they were too old to read, like, the really young kid comics.
Yeah, they're too old to read, like...
Like a Flintstones comic or something.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could still technically do that.
But this is basically what they would call now, like, a middle grade.
Yeah.
So I would say it's probably targeted at kids, like, 8 to 12.
Yeah, and definitely, right? I mean, definitely, or maybe I would say even 6 to 12.
Yeah, 6 to 10. 6 might be a little,
because this came out
might be a little hard for a 6-year-old.
Well, this actually, so Chuck Norris, we're doing Chuck Norris Karate Commandos number 1 from January 1987.
I was going to say, I think this might actually be the first comic in the Star line, because we even have it here at the bottom. It's a Star, the new world in the Marvel Universe.
Well, no, but I think also, well, also too, they launched this line and there was a bunch of other comics that came along with it.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like Strawberry Shortcake.
Oh, man.
And Heathcliff. And there's one, actually a pretty famous one, that CM Punk, of all people, in his Drax run sort of resurrected. There was one called Planet Terry.
Okay.
It was basically like, to me, he always looked like Judy Jetson if she was a boy.
Okay.
Like, and he had white hair and he had like a red jumpsuit and it was like kind of like a kid, like a kid adventurer.
Okay.
You know, and it was sort of like Bucky O'Hare kind of shit. But he ended up, and then CM Punk like resurrected him and somehow, or brought him back, and he's older now.
Yeah.
Grizzled.
Of course.
You know, because I think the Star comic stuff, like there's a lot of a few other things here and here too.
I will say that if I ever found a Strawberry Shortcake comic, I would buy it.
Yeah. No, I mean, these are out there. These are a little bit harder to find, but you definitely find them.
Yeah. I found this one.
Yeah. No, yeah. You can definitely find them. It's kind of like looking for those WCW comics.
Yeah.
Like,
there's
actually a lot of, this is what's interesting about the way we do this show and the way we find comics like this, is that there's a lot of books that were created for action figures.
Yeah. Or TV shows.
And TV shows that were done by DC and Marvel that just, you know, it's, especially in the 80s,
that was the model.
Yeah. Like, you can kind of like, I feel like we can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because this is the model, and there's that Netflix show.
But the Toys That Made Us?
Yeah, the Toys That Made Us. And they talk about this with He-Man.
Yeah. He-Man was basically like a comic book.
Well, it was
sold with a toy.
But that's the thing. They wanted to have some sort of backstory with this He-Man. They wanted to sell this character, this toy He-Man. So they wrote a comic book to go along with it.
Yeah.
But then they were like, oh, hey, how about we do a cartoon too?
Yeah.
And so it all tied that shit together. And then it worked so well that they tried to do it all over
the
place.
Well, they did that with G.I. Joe, essentially,
too. G.I. Joe. You can see that they're doing it here because, like you said, there's action figures that go with this comic. And there's a TV show that's on the air when this comes out.
It's all this stuff. Well, I
like
think
a it, cartoon.
I think it was around the same time. Maybe it's all got to be like tied in very closely because this didn't last very long.
No.
So, but however, I did have some action figures of this.
See, I never heard of it. I never saw the show, nothing.
Well, 1987 Sean, you know, he had some toys.
Well, yeah, I did too.
He had his G.I. Joes, but he also had some other jams here.
I mean,
too,
I used to watch G.I. Joe and shit. I never saw the Chuck Norris TV show.
It's because I think there's only like 4 episodes.
Yeah, that's probably why.
I feel
it's not like now where it's like, let's just stream it on Netflix. Like, if you missed it, you fucking missed it. And that was it.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that kind of disappears on Netflix without me realizing it's gone. Because I'm just like, oh, I'll just get it later. And then I never do.
Yeah. Well,
like, for instance, like, I would love to have like the complete G.I. Joe run and just watch them just for the fuck of it, you
sure,
because I kind of get,
well, we were watching some He-Man the other night.
Yeah, He-Man sucks though.
It, you know what, I loved it when I was a kid, but it does suck now as an adult. You're like, what?
We tried to watch, like, I tried to watch a few because we were like, oh, this is gonna be great, and then it's just like, oh, this kind of sucks.
Well, it's stupid. I think that's the thing. It's just a dumb show designed specifically to sell a toy. So
100%. So getting to this book, Chuck Norris Karate Commandos, basically the cover is just Chuck Norris with his
not really sure what his outfit is.
Well, he's got it's his action figure, one of the action figures.
Well, yeah,
like this.
But I mean, like, I've never seen Chuck Norris in this outfit.
Well, doesn't have to, it's a cartoon. This is,
and I'm just saying, so he's got, you know, his Chuck Norris hair, he's got a bandana, got a mustache.
Oh, is he, what move, you know what, I gotta look up real quick here.
He has a white long sleeve t-shirt, but over this is a vest, I guess, maybe plastic.
See my vest.
Yeah, definitely see my vest. It's like blue and it's got like a strap across his chest that just says CN, where it says Chuck Norris. And then he's got like a weird kind of like karate belt, but it's got a buckle. And then he's wearing jeans, even though you can't tell he's wearing jeans here in this picture. And I will have to say that the drawing of him, these jeans are too baggy.
Yeah.
They are not tight enough for Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris's jeans are notoriously tight.
You know what's funny is that he, at this time when this movie came out, he was pretty much doing like some of his most violent movies. Like, because he was doing Invasion USA, Missing in Action was in the middle of those movies, Code of Silence, Delta Force, Firewalker, Hero and a Terror. That one, yeah.
He was a big deal.
Yeah, there's some hardcore movies he was doing here. Because, I mean, he's obviously well known for, like, the big to-do about Colt, or bleh, Chuck. Was he had all those movies in the early 80s that were like Eye for an Eye, The Octagon, and The Force of One. Like, these were like considered to be really big martial arts movies for that time. And, you know, then like by this time he was doing just full on like action, like canon movies, you know, and they were just crazy.
Yeah.
And, but they decided to make him into this action hero for kids.
Yeah. And you know,
here he is.
His politics aside.
Yeah, you know what?
We're just not even going to talk about it.
We won't talk.
You know what? We're just going to say, his politics aside. We're going to continue on.
Well, there's a lot to break down
there's
here.
There's a
as,
lot
regardless.
Of shit in this book. So.
Starts off with the picture. So the story itself is called The Super Cruiser. And of all people that drew this.
It's Steve Ditko.
Steve fucking Ditko.
Drew this fucking comic book.
Steve Ditko, who created, known for Spider-Man, and he's created some of my favorite comics, including The Creeper and Shade the Changing Man from the 70s. He drew this.
Maybe he really loved Chuck Norris. He was just like, I fucking love Chuck Norris. I'm drawing this comic.
This has got to be like a labor of love thing where he's just like, I'm a big Chuck Norris fan. I love The Octagon.
Yeah, because there's...
I love Delta Force.
He didn't have to do this. I'm sure he could have done anything he wanted.
No, maybe he did. Maybe he needed the money.
Well, maybe he needed the money, but maybe he could have...
Stan Lee was like, true believer. Why don't you...
Are you serious? Like, Steve Ditko could have gone like, I want to do this. Whatever. And they'd have been like, sure.
I don't know the politics at the time that maybe forced him into this. Or maybe he wanted to.
Maybe.
And then there's this thing. You can't ask Steve Ditko.
No, he's dead.
Oh, he's not dead.
He's not dead?
He's still alive.
Shit, I thought he was
dead. I'm 100% he's still alive, but I'm fairly certain he's still alive, but he is very reclusive. Like, nobody's heard
of him. Oh, he's like Salinger.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
who is dead, by the way.
Right. Yeah, but he's very much like that. So nobody could be like, we can't find him and be like, you know, oh my God, Steve Ditko, you've done so much. Why did you do Chuck Norris's comic book?
Yeah, he's like, just like, get off my fucking lawn. And you're like, okay, bye. Bye, Steve Ditko.
I feel like he's leading more of a finger existence. That's the impression I've gotten from people that have brought it up.
Oh, that's
brought him
not,
up,
that's
which
not
is
good.
Sad.
That's sad.
A Bill Finger type of life.
That's not good.
No.
No.
So, yeah, here's Chuck Norris, though, wearing baggy jeans, looking a lot like Eric Siska from We Hate Movies.
Yeah, actually.
I just wanted to point that out.
Are you going to take this picture and tweet it at him and be like, is this you?
Look, it's the Eric Siska action figure.
He'd be happy. It's a blonde man.
Yes. Well, I mean, at least in this book, for some reason, he has varied hair.
He's
on the cover, he's got his normal, like, dark, like strawberry blonde.
Yeah, no, he's very blonde in this one.
He's very blonde in this one.
And here he is. And see, on the cover, his vest is blue. Inside, it's white.
Yeah, it's just an alternate outfit.
It just looks like weird shoulder pads.
Looks like he's about to sit on a butt plug here.
Oh, maybe he is.
Politics aside.
Politics aside, indeed. He's like, hey, but don't kink shame.
So we see like a thought bubble coming in, and it just says, Chuck Norris is the best. I'm certain that he probably said, this is how my comic has to start.
And so then we see it's a picture. So what we had been zoomed in on a picture, and there's a kid in class staring at this picture of Chuck Norris, thinking about what a great guy Chuck Norris is. He's just so cool.
Right. And so
this kid loves Chuck Norris.
What we have to explain who this kid is.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I'll just explain because there's a lot of stuff that comes up here.
So what happens is this kid's like, man, Chuck Norris, he's so cool. He's in class. We see his teacher at the front of the room, and she's like, hey, guys, guess what? Tomorrow we're going to go to this anti-terrorism field conference as a field trip. And you're like, what?
Yeah, don't take kids to the Don't take a bunch of 10-year-olds to a science museum or whatever.
Yeah, don't take them there. Take them to the anti-terrorism conference where I'm sure there's plenty of guns.
Take them to the fucking Bikini Atoll. Take them to Chernobyl. Kids, we're going to Chernobyl.
Woo, fun. And
get your parents' permission.
She says security is very tight this year, which is why you want to bring children. Because the Super Cruiser will be on exhibit, which is where we're going to find out what that is. And it says, it is only through Too Much's special connection with Chuck Norris that we may attend. And I stopped there and read that sentence about six times because I'm like, what is Too Much's?
Okay, well.
And this is where we find out, which they didn't bother to tell us before this, this fucking kid's name is Too Much.
It never really, it eventually kind of comes up, but apparently this kid who is fantasizing about Chuck Norris and his Trapper Keeper, is his name is Too Much.
Yes.
And the first couple panels, he's looking at him, he's like, oh my God.
He has like a panda.
I want to be him when I grow up. And he's like, and he thinks, I'm going to be just like him. He's just Too Much. And I'm like, wait, he's you?
Well, see, I didn't know that kid's name was Too Much because he was just thinking like, oh man, he's Too Much. And I'm like, right. Oh, maybe old people thought kids said that back in the 80s. I don't know. Sure.
Well, Steve Ditko certainly would have.
Well, he didn't write it, though. Well, he just drew it.
It's true.
So I'm like, maybe they're like, oh, this is what the cool kids say. They say, Chuck Norris is just Too Much, man.
How about Radicler?
No, this fucking kid's name is Too Much. What? There's no explanation before that at all. They just drop it in here and you're left to be like, wait, what? And you don't figure that out, I think, until like over here somewhere.
Right. So basically, so that's when it gets to this, we get this idea that this girl, that the teacher's like, she's like, oh, it's Too Much's connections because, so in addition to just being a regular, he's not just some regular kid. He is a part
with a shit name.
Yeah. We don't know his last name. It's like Too Much.
Is his name Too Much? Is his name Too and his last name Much?
Well, maybe.
They always call him Too Much.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like kind of how you always have to call George Clooney, George Clooney. Like, you're never going to walk up to him and be like, hello, George. You have to say hello, George Clooney.
Do you really?
I don't know. I'm assuming.
Oh, I didn't say. I mean,
I'm assuming. Wouldn't it be weird to just call him George?
Well, I mean, I guess you would if you were referring to him, like if you were one of the Coen brothers referring to him on set, and you'd be like, hey, George, can you stand over here while we shoot this scene?
I would call him George Clooney. Hello, George Clooney. Stand over here.
George Clooney.
Be in my movie called George Clooney Sleeps. I don't exactly know how that works. He does a lot of stuff and then he sleeps.
George Clooney. It's just him like...
he goes to the...
I hope he has it open to like one of those things like what I happens where like when you... he wakes up and then he does like... He cleans his house.
Yeah.
And then he drinks some coffee and then he falls asleep.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what it is. It's a real life. It's me exploring the monotony of the everyday by having George Clooney just like go to the store.
Is George Clooney playing me?
No, George Clooney's playing himself, a fictionalized himself.
Uh-huh.
If he wasn't rich.
Can we have action figures done by Remco that look like the one I showed you?
Yes, he is ripped to shit.
Yeah.
So much so that his pants rip every time he walks. It's just like, he just puts on, it is 45 minutes of him trying to put on pants.
Can we get a comic book tie-in from Marvel, and it's just a sound effect of him walking down the street, and you just hear, you just see the words rip, 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 rip.
Yes. Yes.
He's like, I gotta get to the store, where my pants keep ripping.
If only I invested in sweatpants. But I love khakis.
I can't find sweatpants in this day and age because I'm George Clooney. People will mock me.
And then he just goes to the store with his ripped pants, and he buys, I don't know, some Girl Scout cookies from those girls outside.
Mm-hmm. Tis the season.
Tis the season. Maybe picks up a latte, heads back, pounds the whole box of Girl Scout cookies, and goes to sleep.
What do you think he's doing? Samoas? Thin Mints?
Oh, he's definitely doing Samoas. I feel like he's a Samoa guy.
I'm a Samoa guy.
Yeah. I mean, or would he be a Do-Si-Do man?
Which ones are those?
They're like the shortbreads.
Oh, is that what they call them? I thought they called them Trifadoils.
Oh, wait. Are Do-Si-Dos the peanut butter ones? No, those are the...
Well, the Tagalongs are the chocolate peanut ones.
Tagalongs are the peanut butter ones. Mm-hmm. What's a Do-Si-Do? I forget.
I don't know.
You're right. Maybe the trefoil is the...
I think it's a trefoil.
I do love those. I don't know what a Do-Si-Do is. Fuck it. He eats those. Because I don't know what they are.
He made these especially for you, George Clooney.
Eat these mystery cookies. And he just like shoves them in his mouth without chewing. And he cries.
Why is he crying?
Because that's art.
Oh. What does George Clooney got to cry about?
He doesn't have enough money. He looked at his bank account and he went, oh no, there's only 17 zeros. I need another zero. I assume that's how billionaires think. I assume that they wake up every day and go, oh my God, I only have 17 zeros. I better punch a poor person until I get 18. I said, that's probably how Batman thinks. I don't know. I'm not rich. I can't tell you.
Is this Chuck Norris book driving you loopy?
Yes. Yes, it is. It's a little late
Yeah.
On a Sunday.
Yeah. So
I'm a little hungry. Okay. Been on the Weight Watchers.
Okay.
You know,
we have pork.
I gotta get my points in. Haven't eaten a lot of points today.
Okay, well, we'll get some pork in a minute. Okay. So anyways, he says, so our buddy here, Too Much, is having a fantasizing. He's just like, Chuck Norris is the best. Chuck Norris is the best. Quack, quack, quack.
Yeah, and pretty much. This kid is like in love with Chuck Norris. It's kind of creepy, actually.
Which, we do learn that, so apparently Chuck Norris.
Mm-hmm. Works for the government.
Well, here's what happens. So the teacher's like, we're gonna go to this thing and we're gonna see this truck, and some kids like, what does Chuck Norris have to do with this shit and this truck, and what is this super cruiser? And,
yeah,
and the teacher's like, well, according to Too Much, the government hired Chuck as a consultant, which in 1987 that sounds absurd. However,
in 2018,
I'm not
nope. That's, you know what? If I woke up tomorrow and they're like, we've hired Chuck Norris as a consultant for something, I'd be like, of course we did.
We've hired Chuck Doldis.
Of course we did.
We've hired Chuck Norris to create a super truck. And we'd be like, oh, I guess he did.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Well, the thing is about the premise of the group in general is that they are a government group.
Yeah.
Like, they're basically like, Ronnie is sending them in on missions.
Yeah.
And he's like, Mommy, whatever. I can't really do the Ronnie
Reagan. I can't really do a Reagan.
Yeah, I don't feel like I have as good of a Reagan. I don't really do presidents well.
No.
And I don't even do Clinton or Trump, or I do Obama okay.
Well, Obama, all you have to do is just slow it down. Whatever you're saying, just slow it down.
Chuck Norris?
Yep, bat.
You can build a car?
Yeah, that's
or
it.
Or a truck?
Yeah, so slow it the fuck down and speed it up at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
You got an Obama.
Yeah, I like doing the Obama. anyway, so it's basically an anti-terrorism vehicle, and the teacher is like, well, we're going to like stop our class in a minute. I'm going to talk to you about this. But in the meantime, the kid is having a fantasizing.
He's having a fantasy about him kind of dressed like a toy soldier in a karate uniform, like one of those, like a nutcracker almost.
Yeah.
He looks very weird. He's wearing this hat with like the biggest bill.
Well, he's wearing just a regular baseball cap for some reason.
It's so far back on its on his head, it just sticks straight up.
It's drawn. Yeah, it looks like he's wearing a Pope hat. Because the way that it's drawn, it looks like for whatever reason, this Steve kid, Ditko was just like, I don't give a fuck. He's the Pope.
This kid is the Pope now.
This kid is the Pope.
Fuck it. And he dreams that he
which reminds me of that Pope comic you found.
Oh, we almost bought the Battle Pope. I think.
Yeah,
it was called Battle.
It was like an image bullshit. Where
yeah,
it was like, nah.
You know what? I'm so lapsed. As a Catholic,
it's not fair.
That I shouldn't even call myself a Catholic. But even looking at that was like, this is too sacrilegious for me.
Yeah.
For me.
So we'll just have to deal with Pope Kid so Pope. Young Pope.
I could deal with Young Pope.
The Young Pope. Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Young Pope.
This is
this is the prequel to Young Pope.
This is Young Jude Law here. So he's fighting this. I forgot what this guy's name is. A Super Ninja?
Oh, yes. He is the Super Ninja.
Okay, yeah. Super Ninja.
And he is wearing purple pajamas.
I kind of like his outfit. But
he's got Danzig hair.
He does have
And wearing Asuka's mask.
Actually, okay.
First, he has Danzig hair.
I was going to say Sally Forth.
That too.
Basically, imagine Ninja Sally Forth.
Or Ninja Danzig.
Or Ninja Danzig. You know what? Ninja Danzig, I'm on board with.
Ninja Danzig wearing Asuka's mask.
But he's wearing... Okay, here's the thing, though. The action figure, for whatever reason, the action figure came with a purple mask. Like, the purple mask was purple.
Oh, it's white here.
But here, for some reason, it's just his white mask. He does have Danzig. Actually, you know what? He does have Danzig
100%
hair.
100% has Danzig hair.
That is Danzig hair. That is definitely 88 Danzig hair.
Yeah, 100%. And he's like, I hate Chuck Norris. I have a picture of him on my wall, and I threw like a sword at it or something.
He's got a lot of posters of Chuck Norris or somebody who hates Chuck Norris.
Yeah, he's gonna.
Imagine this is a fantasy, and the kid's just like, well, whatever. I'm gonna.
And
kick
the kid's
your...
like, I'm awesome with my Pope hat. Time for me to kick ass. I also have nunchucks.
Well, also, and the Super Ninja, who being named Super Ninja,
you would assume he'd be like jacked or huge.
No, not that. I'm not really worried about that. He looks at the kid with the nunchucks and, you know, so Too Much with the nunchucks, and he's like, what are those? And he's like, these are called nunchucks.
That's right.
And Chuck Norris taught me how to use them. And it's like,
you're a fucking super ninja. You should know what nunchucks are.
If you're a super ninja, you should know every ninja weapon.
That's the thing. I love that we take the time to explain nunchucks.
Well, you kind of have to.
But we don't take the time to explain the fact that this kid's name is Too Much. We just drop it in the middle of a sentence like you're supposed to know what the fuck it means.
I also like that we're explaining nunchucks to young children, which is guaranteed too. So anyways, he's...
Well, don't worry. When did the Turtles come out? Like 90...
Oh, that's right.
Something. So we're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting
soon.
We're
getting, everyone well, will know
we're,
a nunchuck.
We were ninja crazy at this time.
That's
and so,
true.
And the there Turtles were actually already a comic book thing.
Right. They were
but
a TV show.
They were
yet.
Coming very soon.
Yeah.
So he kind of he's his teacher's trying to like get his attention. He's not snapping too. And she's like, "Well, look, if you're not going to pay attention in class, I'm going to tell Chuck Norris that you suck." And he's like. And he's like, it just literally, she says that, yeah. And she's like, "Oh no, don't do that." And she's
don't
like,
"Don't
tell
right, Chuck fine. Norris I'm a waste of space."
So she goes ahead and starts talking about this battle, this whatever, what's it called,
super cruiser, or something.
And basically, it's just an RV.
It's an RV.
It's an RV that looks like an RV, but inside it's like got technology. Yeah. That's all you need to know.
But here's the thing: why? Okay, she's like, "It's built to be inconspicuous." Blah blah blah. I'm like, "All right, so why would you tell people that?" Right. If it's built to be an inconspicuous RV, why would you let everybody know?
Why would you let these kids
sure,
know?
Sure, okay,
what if one of these kids works for ISIS?
It's very possible that all of these kids work for ISIS.
Oh, shit.
Every single one of them.
Oh, man, Chuck Norris should come in and fight them all.
he tries to later. so they're like, "Yeah, it's just an RV," and you're like, "Okay." Great.
So I like how they stop. She stops, and then she's like, "All right, you know what? Now let's like talk about
now it's time to talk about books.
Talk about books." And so apparently they had to do a book report on a story called Children's Story.
I have never
which
read this.
You're not aware of. Okay, so I'm gonna.
It is a real book. Apparently, it's called The Children's Story, and it's written by James Clavell.
Okay, so I'm gonna read you.
Who has given us important ideas about freedom and mind control.
Well, I'm going to read you a quick bit of the premise.
Like, together? Like, free mind control?
Yeah.
Or what it's like to be free without mind control? Man, this guy is he still alive? Would he hate social media?
Oh, yeah. So, The Children's Story is a 4,300 word short story.
Okay.
That appeared in Reader's Digest in 1964 and was republished in 1982. And there's been a short film of it back in 82 that was on like some bullshit TV. And apparently it takes place in an unnamed classroom in the States where the aftermath of the war between U.S. and unnamed country is implied that America has lost and has been occupied. And it opens with the previous teacher leaving the classroom, having been removed from her position and replaced with an agent of the foreign power. The new teacher is trying to teach the kids propaganda. And the children are persuaded to abandon their religion and national loyalty. And the teacher is really hardcore on it. But there's one student who's initially hostile to the new teacher and is because his father's been arrested and put in a re-education camp. At first, he defends his father. But when he is rewarded by the teacher with a position of authority in class, he quickly accepts the new regime and commits himself to not accepting, quote, wrong thoughts. The story takes place over a 25-minute span. That is the premise of the book that they are reading in this class.
Okay.
They're reading in this class that people are jizzing over.
Yeah, people are so excited about this.
Because it's not
book,
just this
man.
Part. Everybody's like, fuck yeah, Children's Story.
Yeah, Children's Story.
I mean, look, I understand. I'm not saying it sounds like a very dense piece of literature, but
it sounds like a thing.
But again, I'm just saying this is meant for kids that were not ready to read G.I. Joe the comic.
Yeah, and you're gonna throw the Children's Story at
and
them.
You're throwing this at them. I'm like, no, I had to look it up because I was like, okay, what's this? You know what I mean? Are they? I'd be like, oh, we're. I mean, look, I think Charlotte's Web's a little bit too young for these kids.
The kids who are supposed to be reading this?
I mean, I don't know. Do you think they should? No, I mean, we're too young for the kids in this class. These kids look a little bit older.
That's the thing. I don't know how old these kids are. If we're
I would say they're in
these,
7th grade, so I'd
be
like, okay.
Then that's fine. I mean, I think, when did I read Charlotte's Web? I think before that.
Yeah, definitely Charlotte's Web was like a thing I learned in grade school.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly when I read it, but.
But
yeah.
I mean, at this point, they're reading like 1984 or Animal Farm.
Sure, yeah.
So I guess you're maybe along those lines. But for the kids that are in that should be reading this comic that they're gaining towards,
it might be a little bit too young for them because right. It's kind of like one of those like, oh, the you know, the regime or how easy it is for somebody who's given any sort of authority to completely like kowtow and like toe the line and fuck everybody else over. Like, oh, okay, yeah. But
I don't know
if that's the point of throwing it in here. It's a weird reference.
That's the thing. It's just a weird reference that doesn't really fit the rest of everything that's going on. And I mean, granted,
Chuck really loves it because
he must
freedom?
It must have been a Chuck thing. It must have been the kids are going to read this story. I love this story.
I don't think people read that story anymore.
Well, it sounds like a very anti-American story.
I don't know if it's anti-American. It's supposed to be more how easy it is to fall into propaganda.
Right.
And then even if you're resisting, if somebody gives you power, how easy it is for you to turn on everything you thought you believed.
Oh, shit. Kids turning heel.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what I would have called it.
I mean, that's what I'm taking away from this. Again, I haven't read it, but that's how I'm taking away from
the
description.
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense.
But, I mean, it's just easier to buy a cable news network. but yeah, I don't know the purpose for referencing it here. It's just strange.
So meanwhile, this is happening. Too much his classmates is like, hey, yo, did you bring it? And he's like, yeah, you got it. One of the best color portraits of Chuck Norris.
This kid's like a dealer.
He is slyly handing kids Chuck Norris
headshots.
And the kid, gives it to him. He's like, man, this is beautiful. And Chuck Norris is,
But at the same time, it's not even like an 8.5 by 11. It's just like a 4 by 6.
Yeah. It's not even signed. No, it's not. It's just a picture. Like, it's one of the pictures he was looking at his notebook. He's like, hey, man, did you bring that picture?
Well, that's the thing. He brings them all. He's like a dealer. I'm supposed this kid's not like, 20 bucks. Here, have a taste of the Chuck Norris picture.
At least Virgil has enough sense to charge for it.
Right? Like, is he giving them, the little wallet pictures that you used to give people when you got your picture? Is he like, that's a taste? If you want more, also, you gotta pay.
Why do you have to talk about it in the middle of class? Can't you be like, hey, Tommy, after class, here's your picture?
Yeah, is it that big of a deal that this kid get a 4 by 6 of Chuck Norris? That's not even signed.
This is a Chuck Norris comic book. So Chuck Norris is like, oh, wouldn't be great if the kids in the class were really into my picture?
Did they consult Chuck Norris on this
book? Oh yeah.
Or were they just like, we're gonna make it tie into the TV show that Chuck Norris sort of consulted
No, he actually did consult because it was the TV show, which I haven't watched yet. But from what I understand, it was kind of like a Super Mario kind of deal where there's a live-action Chuck punching something.
So Captain Lou Albano was like, I'm going to jump down a pipe. And then Chuck Norris was like, me too. And he followed.
Actually, it was just real-life Captain Lou Albano. He just kind of busted. Chuck Norris is like, hey, kids, we're going to learn about something today, and I'm going to punch this dummy. And Captain Lou's like, I'm going to jump down a pipe. And he's like, sweet.
And then he's like, Karate Commando. And Captain Lou's like, I'll just stay
take
here.
Take all my action figures. Give
he's
it to
like,
the,
go. Give it to too the... fat.
Here. When you jump down the pipe, give him my action figures to one of those chuds down there.
Oh, God.
Captain Lou, chud dealer. That's apparently the cartoon, because then you would come back and be like, well, we learned today lessons, whatever. And I think because I think he was very heavily involved in this cartoon.
Oh, okay.
It was probably his way of trying to reach a different audience, because he was doing these super violent movies that kids look, my parents would have shown them to me.
my parents would not.
Yeah, you're my parent. My dad would be like, hey, Invasion USA, you want to watch this?
Yeah, see, my dad probably wouldn't have cared. My mom was like, never.
Invasion USA, by
she
the
took
way.
That shit seriously.
Terrified me, and I haven't seen it in a long time, but it terrified me as a kid, because there's a scene where whatever terrorists are doing, they put a bomb, like a C4 bomb, on the side of a school bus. And on the school bus, the kids are singing and going, they're singing, the whole bus is singing, Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Oh, is it that? I was thinking of that Family Guy where they're just like, I like being alive. I like
They should have.
Like right before they all die.
They're singing this song, and then some kid, sees this. Because he looks on the side of the bus, and it's kind of like the Twilight Zone thing where you see a thing on the wing. He sees the bomb on the side of the bus, and I can't remember if the bus actually explodes.
And all those children die.
And all those children die, because I was always watching that part as a kid, and I was like, just open the window and hit it off. save everybody. But he couldn't, because he was probably a little kid. And I'd be, that's always terrified me.
Sorry, could he have reached it?
No, I don't think you could, because
those bus windows are up at the top.
Maybe you get your school bag out and go, and the bus people are like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm trying to get the bomb off the side of the bus. Why are you not singing Row, Row Your Boat? Anyways.
What if you did it at the same time?
Row, row, we're unpacking a lot here.
There's so much going on.
So this kid...
Fuck this kid, by the way.
Yeah, because he's like, hey.
Fuck too much.
Because too much is like, some of his friends ask us, hey, did you read the book yet? And he's like, nah, if she doesn't call on me today, I'll be safe because the field trip's tomorrow, so I'll read it over the weekend, because fuck school and fuck Chuck Norris giving a fuck about me.
Yeah.
And then it just closes up on this last panel here, and it's just him saying, you want to come over and practice karate tonight with me?
Yeah.
And the way that it's drawn, he's got no color in his eyes.
Yeah,
his
they're
pupils,
like really big and it's just creepy. Like, yeah, it's really weird. And then the teacher's like, hey, too much, what the fuck are you doing talking to my class? And he's like, since you don't want to listen to everybody else, you tell me what you thought of the book.
He's like, day, day, day. And he's getting all nervous.
He's like, me? And she's like, yeah, get your ass up to the front of the class and tell us what you thought. And he's like, I'm doomed. I wish the ceiling would fall on me or whatever. And
I wish I was dead, yeah, basically.
I wish I would die right now. And what happens? But the claw?
The cult of the...
The cult of
just
the claw.
As about as our young protagonist here is about to embarrass himself in the front of the class because he didn't read the
book.
The book. This wild book that these kids are reading. The ninjas invade his classroom.
Yeah, and they just like bust through the freaking windows.
With handguns. Like there's like at least...
Oh, these are like automatic... Like
there's like nine ninjas in this classroom.
Semi-automatic handguns.
This is
like
some Red Dawn shit.
Yeah, no, it really is. And the kids are like, oh my god. And the teacher's like, what? And they've been sent by the super ninja to get this kid.
Yeah.
And this, at first, honestly, I was like, oh, that guy's got his iPhone. He's taking a selfie. And I was like, wait, no, that is not.
That's an Instagram account I might want to follow. It's like hired assassin ninjas in the classroom with a bunch of kids, totes, guns, or whatever.
Totally going to kill him. Smile.
Because they come in there.
Snapchat.
Well, here's the thing, though, is they come into this classroom and they're just immediately just like, we're going to fucking shoot all these kids.
Yeah,
just give us what we want, or we're going to fucking murder every goddamn
like,
kid.
And they're like, oh, we will. We will murder all of these children. Because
she's like, oh, we don't. Why should we listen to you? It's like, we're gonna fucking murder kids. And people aren't nearly as panicked here.
Oh
I
yeah,
feel.
They should be screaming. But
they seem mildly perturbed.
They're also these guys are drawn kind of weird because they kind of look. So they have like ninja outfits.
Yeah.
But their headgear all kind of looks like a Russian Cossack hat.
A little bit, yeah.
But also a turban.
Yeah, it's
kind of like enemies. You know what I mean? They're just like,
oh, they put them all together.
Yeah, everybody's put together. We don't
Chuck
like
Norris
this.
Was over Steve Ditko's really? Show. He's like, make it more Russian. Make
yeah,
it more
exactly. We hate Russians. We hate Middle Eastern people. Let's put them all together and make them the enemy. But then they put bees on top of their heads, which kind of looks
those
like a
bees.
That kind of looks like that, the
that's a ninja symbol of some sort.
I know it is, but you know what it looks like from here, at least upside down.
It doesn't look like a bee.
It looks like the bee that you see on Boston Red Sox hats.
Oh.
He's like, hey, bro. Fuck the Boston Red Sox. Put that on their hats.
Hey, bro. I'm a ninja now.
I also hate the Boston Red Sox.
Can we go to Wahlburgers after we murder these kids? So then we cut to the cult's secret headquarters. It's the cult of the claw. So there's Super Ninja, but then there's also like a claw goo dude.
Yeah, actually, like literally like Mr. Dr. Claw. Dr. Claw in fucking Inspector Gadget. He's even has a cat on him that he's petting with.
He has a gigantic like panther cat.
Every animal in this book is massive.
I know.
Because like, you're like, oh, it's a cat, but it's like a fucking mountain lion. And then every dog they have is just like bigger than a goddamn Great Dane. They're huge dogs. So he's like petting this cat with his claw. And they're talking. He's like, hello, Super Ninja. It's Ninja One. We've got the kid. We want to trade this kid for the RV thing.
Yeah. In exchange for the safety of the school children, especially one of them is a karate commando. Which you would think that would be a secret. You think this dumb kid wouldn't be going like, I'm a part of a fucking government agency.
Nothing. I will say this was a big thing in the 80s. I don't think they do it as much anymore. And thank God for that. I can't stand the idea of a kid being part of a team of elite adults.
No.
That really upsets me. I'm like, no, I realize what you're doing. I know what we're doing. I don't like what we're doing.
No, yeah, but he's like, well, I'm certain the government will turn over the Super Cruiser to you guys because we have these kids and you know too much is like fuck you guys Chuck Norris. And so we cut to where Chuck Norris's house is
wherever these
buddies.
People live.
So he's training with so a bunch of these guys are training.
Basically they're just nameless. They have names, but
no, there's Kimo.
Their names do not matter.
So Kimo's the skinnier ninja guy,
ninja
samurai dude.
Okay.
Then this, then the fat guy, the sumo
this
wrestler,
sumo. Yeah.
Who's just constantly dressed as sumo.
Yeah.
His name is Tabe.
Okay.
I forgot what this guy's name is.
I don't know. I random like white guy.
Reed or something.
Sure.
And so they're having a they're sparring, and Reed's like, I'm going to eat everything in the fridge.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to make a snack. You guys hungry? And they're like, nah, thanks. And he's like, oh, no, I dropped a grape.
I think he literally pulls out an entire shelf of the fridge.
I think he does.
Just
and,
to
and
eat
he's
it.
He's like, I'm going to eat this whole thing. And then he's like, oh, I dropped a grape under the fridge. That's okay. Let's get some comedy.
So then we get some gags of him finding things in the underneath the fridge.
And then as he's like, oh man, I found an earring that Pepper lost. I found an Indian head nickel, blah, 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 like all this sort of stuff. And then Chuck Norris comes in wearing a turtleneck, kind of looks like Trent from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I like it.
Oh man, it would be a great twist as if it was revealed that Chuck Norris was Trent's father.
Oh shit.
Just a way to get that.
That's great.
Like, it'd just be like, I'm Trent's father, Rachel Bloom, and I'm here to karate kick Daryl into a fucking space.
Oh, man. I'd love to see Daryl get karate kicked into space because, you know, he'd be like really nice about it.
He'd be like, hey, what actually is that?
He'd be like delightful.
No, but what would be great is the way they do is at the last second just turns into a really shitty dummy with like, you know, like with, awesome. with the broom head on it.
Oh, yeah. It'd be so good. I love
and it.
It
just kicks it and it just falls apart.
I recommend that show, guys.
It's a very good show.
Chuck Norris comes in his turtleneck and his baggy pants, which that's not right. And he's got a weird wolf dog with him that also looks like it got into pink paint. Cause it's like white, but there's pink patches.
Well, just the way that they're shading it. It looks like
it's weird.
They put like,
and Chuck is like, hey, there's a bunch of guys who, ninjas who have
he exposition somewhere like this whole fucking there's a gigantic paragraph.
There's a huge paragraph. He's like basically, let me tell you, these kids have been taken hostage. We're gonna give them the thing, the RV, but we're gonna kick their asses so we don't have to give them the RV. But come on, let's save America and children and God and apple pie. I'm assuming we're saving all of these things and baseball except for the Red Sox. Fuck them.
He's like, I gotta call Mike Huckabee.
Yeah, I gotta call Mike Huckabee. I'm actually wearing Mike Huckabee's sweater. See you guys later.
They go back into school and the kid. So the ninjas are celebrating because they're like, "Aha, we're gonna do this and
we win."
And so I like too much is like, "Fuck you," and the kid.
They slam his head into the desk.
The ninja just takes his Uzi and he puts his kid's head on a desk. He's like, "Shut the fuck up."
Yeah, no, I mean, like, that made a noise. This kid probably things are ringing. I mean, because they just like slam this kid's head and he's like, "Shut the fuck up, kid."
And then so they see the Super Cruiser show up and
they're like, it would be really funny if it was just like a dude in an RV. He's just like looking for parking.
Just a dude. It's like fucking,
it's fucking Randy Quaid from Christmas Vacation.
Merry Christmas, Shooter's full. Murdered.
He's like, I'm just looking to somewhere to empty my septic tank.
Oh man, can you imagine if you empty the septic tank on all those ninjas?
Truly, it would be a better.
You know what? That's a crossover we never got. We never got National Lampoon's Vacation / Karate Commandos.
Someone bring me that.
Can we get that comic? Why couldn't that be a star comic crossover?
It should be. So some of the ninjas are like, all right, we're going to go check it out. And honestly, the way that they have like a black, like an X on the front.
Yeah, they
and
have
the back,
like straps on them.
And like kind of around their waist.
They have a cummerbund.
But you know what it looks like? Mm. You know when you're like gonna lift some boxes, so you put on that like.
Oh, they have like
those like
weight
back.
Belts.
No, they're like back supporting things for like when you work retail and need to lift boxes.
Yeah,
that's what they look like.
Oh,
wearing.
Are they like? Do they work in a warehouse?
They do, and it's not. It's
do they work
not
at a Costco?
It's not very threatening.
Oh, that's good. Well, they gotta pick up gigs where they can.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do.
So they
you gotta
run
protect
out.
That back.
Yeah, so they run out and they're like, "Oh shit, yeah, let's go check out this thing." And the Super Cruiser and Pepper, who's a part of this group, is sitting in there and they're like, "Get out, lady." And she's like, "Don't hurt me." And she's like, "Well, you better get out now." And she's...
So she opens the door and the dog just like jumps on these guys.
Because these guys didn't notice this dog the minute they stuck their head in the window.
Exactly. And the last fucking thing you're going to do, like, this dog is huge.
Yeah.
So this dog just jumps on him and she's like, "By the way, I'm also a Cobra Commander or a Karate Commando or what the fuck I'm supposed to be. So I fight you guys too." So she starts fighting them.
And then one of the ninjas...
back in the...
Classroom. Ninja's about to shoot this girl and the Too Short actually makes himself useful and throws a board eraser.
Which would not work today.
No.
Because they all have those dry erase boards.
I wish we had those.
I know.
I wish we had dry erase boards.
Oh, back in the day?
Back in the day.
Would have made life easier.
Yeah.
Because he throws an eraser and the chalk dust goes everywhere.
Uh-huh.
That's not going to happen now.
No.
So he's like, what? And then that's when Chuck Norris and his weird shoulder pads come in.
Yeah.
And his baggy pants. He's like, it's me, Chuck Norris. And everybody's like, oh my God, it's fucking Chuck Norris.
That's literally what they do. He walks in. He walks in. Okay, this is what happens. He walks in and everybody goes, oh shit, Chuck Norris, for like a few panels. At one point.
Do you think that's what happens when he goes into a coffee bean? He walks in and people are like, oh shit, it's Chuck Norris.
I think a lot of whispers are happening.
Oh, fuck, it's Chuck Norris, you guys.
I would throw a board eraser at him.
Well, you gotta just carry one around.
Yeah.
Do you just have one? What are you, like, going through TSA security? And they're like, sir, why do you have this eraser? You're like, in case I see Chuck Norris.
And like, keep going.
Keep going,
what, here's what I do.
You're not alone.
I would throw it at him and I'll go, Karate Commandos! And then he would be like, what? And then I would run out the back door.
Is that going to be another action figure? Eraser throwing Sean?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
With eraser throwing action?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm getting a super action feature. I have a swivel arm and I go, wah, wah, wah. Because that's the figure I had. I had not the Chuck Norris, but I had the ninja guy, Kemo or whatever. And he had a swivel arm. Wah.
Did he throw erasers?
No. He had like a fan.
Oh.
It wasn't, yes. Too bad he didn't have a chalk-filled eraser.
That would have been fun.
Just to throw at Chuck Norris's head. But yeah, so he's, so literally he's standing there and one of the, he's threatening this group and one of the ninjas with Uzis are they're like, his back is turned, shoot him now. And the other guy's like, I'm not going to shoot him. That's Chuck Norris. One bullet won't stop him. And he's so fast, we won't have time to shoot two. Because
he's Superman, apparently.
Because apparently if you shoot him in the head with an Uzi,
Chuck Norris will not die.
He will not die.
And he's so fast that that automatic gun can't get off another bullet before he gets.
Because literally at this point, I mean, unless if like he, you know, because he doesn't come in he's and start human. Kicking ass.
No, he doesn't. He just comes in and stands. He does a lot of pointing here because everybody else has to join him. They're like, hey.
I have to take a picture of this panel because this is ludicrous.
It's ridiculous.
Maybe he has a bulletproof head.
Maybe.
Okay, here's the deal. Maybe he's got one of those masks from like Mission Impossible, but it's a real face mask, but it's also Kevlar.
Oh, I can see that.
So he can get shot in the head.
Does it just have his face painted on it?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's a fake mustache, so he's kind of like talking like, it's actually, in reality, it's more like Doc, that's his face, Hannibal Lecter and Sounds of the Lambs.
Yeah.
He's got that dude's face on him. He's like,
ew, gross. I was thinking more like those like World War I masks that they used to give dudes after their faces got blown off.
Yes. Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Where it's just like weird, but it works.
Weird, but it works. The World War II story.
That's kind of my story. Weird, but it works. The Jed Stansfield story.
That's why I love you.
Thanks, babe.
So now his crew finally shows up.
He also has like a rosacea in this panel.
Well, that's just the way this is colored.
I know. It's just because he gets really red. His face is very red. Maybe he's angry.
Oh, he's getting, or maybe he's embarrassed.
Oh, maybe he's just getting fucking mad that there's like ninjas with guns holding up children or something.
Well, he comes in. He's just like, hey, ninjas, get out.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, hurry up and take the kids out. While I'm yelling at I'm sassing these ninjas.
Yeah.
And the ninjas are like, no, fuck you. We're here to murder children.
Exactly.
And so thankfully the sumo guy shows up and he's like, you know, fuck off.
He starts throwing dudes.
I also like this, my buddy Kemo.
Yeah. He comes in.
He says, he pulls out his katana. He goes, cause the ninjas are trying to get out. And so I think Reed or whatever this guy's name is there. And he's in one way. He's like, oh, you going my way? And then they turn around and the Kemo's like, or shall my katana taste your blood instead?
Violence.
And so but the ninjas are like, well, first of all, they say, there's more of us than you. So we're going to kick your ass.
Mm-hmm.
But they should also be like, we got like automated weapons and you have nothing. This guy literally has nothing here.
10 Uzis fully loaded. They have not used one bullet. And they're
because they haven't shot any kids.
What are we going to do against this just random unarmed man standing in front of us? How about you shoot him? I don't know. So finally, Chuck Norris starts punching.
Yeah, so Chuck Norris does his karate,
mm-hmm.
knocks all these dudes out.
Yeah.
None of the other dudes do anything.
No, they literally don't even try to fight back. I don't think he gets hit once.
No, he just womps them.
Yeah, he does.
Next time, think twice before you threaten a bunch of kids, he says.
And then the dumb kid, apparently he finds his Pope hat because he wasn't wearing it earlier.
No, he finds a Pope hat.
So he's wearing his Pope hat and he like throws a desk into one of these guys. And then he like knocks one of them down like with a leg sweep or something. And then the teacher's just like, because they had let all the kids go. when Chuck Norris showed up.
Well, the teacher left too.
Well, yeah, all of them, they left, which we forgot to mention.
Which, so, thankfully, that's what they should have done. Yeah. Should be like, holy shit, we're
and
free.
And Chuck Norris is like, now we'll fight. But as all this is going on, the teacher just comes back in and she's like, hi, I just wanted to see how everything was going. Like, she's just here to tech on too much. No one cares. And then they're like, we're going to blow this woman's brains out. And she's like, oh no. And Chuck Norris is like, how about don't do that?
He's like, hey, I'm Chuck Norris. Don't shoot a woman.
And then so he's got like a gun on Chuck Norris. He's like, you're not fast enough for this, Chuck Norris. And there's the book that they were reading is now on the floor.
Uh-huh.
And Chuck Norris does that thing with his foot where he kind of like hacky sacks it.
Yeah.
He hacky sacks it into the guy's face. And the guy goes, oh no, not a book. And he shoots the book.
Learning.
And then, oh no, knowledge! And then Chuck Norris punches the guy.
And there's a panel where like the rest of the ninjas are like, this Chuck Norris, he is formidable.
Yeah, he and threw a book at us.
And they say, flee, because I have to get the fuck out.
And they run. So they run away. And then Pepper shows up. She's like, I didn't do anything. I'm glad all the stuff is over.
Well, she helped out earlier with the van and the wolf. And the wolf was there. And
yeah, so she finally comes in. And everybody's like, man, Chuck, that was so great. Good work, Chuck. That's so great. And Chuck's like, oh, I'm just sad because someone has shot this version of this amazing book.
Here's the thing that we don't see offhand, too, because he's like, apparently the ninjas were apprehended off screen.
Where?
Because
it's been one panel.
Right. Well, because he mentions how apparently the school bus that was used was supposed to be where the ninjas came in.
Because
he says, I activated the anti-theft device, and the only other vehicle out there is that thing that looks like a school bus. I checked it out, and it was really, it's really one of the cult's own transports.
Then what the fuck do they need this RV for? If they've got what looks like a school bus, but it's like some sort of transport.
Yeah, and then so the girl's like, yeah, Pepper's like, well, it is some engine work, and that's not going to go anywhere. And she, you know, Chuck Norris is like, fucking A. And he's like, the only thing I regret about all this is the only thing that Chuck Norris regrets is that this book has been shot.
Yes,
and
this book that I love.
And it's like, and he's like, you're sorry about the school property? And he's like, partly came out because, especially because it's a good book.
It's a good, we love America book.
And, you know, and the sumo guy's like, oh yes, the children's story, it's a fine fable.
And they're like, maybe we should all read it at dinner. We'll all talk about it tonight. Wouldn't that be great? I'd love to know what you thought. Too much. And too much is like, I haven't read the book. And then your buddy, Chemo, goes over to the woman, the teacher, and he's like, hey, can I borrow one of those books? And she's like, yeah, since you're a ninja, no problem. I'm like, does nobody have a library card?
Exactly.
Go fucking check it out,
dude. Or go buy a book. You work for the government.
Not only that, do you know how hard it is to get books for schools?
Exactly.
There's not enough funding.
Ugh. I'm trying to find here where they say that the... I could have sworn I read this somewhere.
Hmm.
That the cops just showed up and apprehended.
Oh, they probably did. Because nobody seems to care.
Yeah, nobody seems to care. But just because these kids are sitting in this book.
They all come back.
All these kids had a traumatic experience with ninjas shooting, threatening them with Uzis.
Yeah. And the kids are like, we're back in the classroom. Everything is fun.
Yeah. So they're like, the kid's like, yeah, oh, well, I guess we'll read this after dinner. And too much is like, Tommy, I don't think I'll be able to play with you until after tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
And then everybody laughs. So the last panel, the last panel of this story is just
a
broken window with laughter coming out of it.
Yeah.
And somebody saying important stuff. Stuff's got to come first.
I'm assuming it's too much.
Too much. And then apparently the next issue is just Margie.
That's it.
And that's the end of the first issue of this comic book.
Yeah.
Of this Chuck Norris comic book is a broken window with laughter coming out of it.
But we do have to talk about the ads on the back here.
Okay.
So we have some BMX dudes, some serious BMX dudes.
I didn't realize this. I didn't realize this was a candy ad.
It's a candy / BMX ad. I think.
It technically, actually, you're right. Because it's Jolly Land.
Many things.
Okay, let's check this out. It says it's Jolly Rancher / Murray, the hot team from 86. Check out the most rad freestyle and BMX racing going with the big names. And it gives you a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
They're here.
And they all look the same. These dudes all look the same. They have the same hair. What I love about this is there's a Jolly Rancher watermelon stick with an X.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Sean if you remember Jolly Rancher sticks.
I do, actually, because I remember they were thin, right?
They're thin, and they're probably, 2 inches long, maybe? Mm-hmm. Now, they don't make these anymore.
This is really old Jolly Ranchers, too, by the way.
Yes, this is really old. I loved these because, so, 1986. Picture it, 1986, field day, some small town in Colorado. Young Jen has to go to field day, which I suck at because I am not an athletic person, but I get to go to the fun snack bar, which we never had except for field days, and that is where you can buy the Jolly Rancher sticks.
Did ninjas show up with Uzis?
No, unfortunately not. I only had to try to run hurdles and fail something to do with water balloons in a pool.
Oh, I hate water balloon games.
It was some water balloon, and it was the morning, and it was still cold.
Fuck you, water balloon game-making people.
I don't remember what... I think I actually... That was the only one I won.
Oh.
But I don't remember more about it. It was, I remember a kiddie pool filled with water balloons, and it was cold because it was the morning. Anyway.
I remember one time we went to this, my mom's union area or whatever, had a picnic.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one of those things where they just like, oh, we're going to have games.
Sure.
And you're going to go out there and throw water balloons with this friend of a friend here, and I had to throw water. It was one of those things where I was like, oh, don't let the water balloon blow. I hate, fuck that game. I don't want to get wet.
I don't remember exactly what we were supposed to do. I just remember there were a bunch of water balloons in a kiddie pool, and it was the first thing we did that morning, and it was still cold.
Mm. Yeah, that's a dumb idea.
Yeah, it didn't, because you had to cycle through them. So, not everybody could be at the same game at once. But anyway, so you go to the snack bar.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the Jolly Rancher sticks, and they had Jolly Rancher watermelon, but they had Jolly Rancher fire,
ooh,
which are my fucking favorite. Really? I love, I love cinnamon bears. I love all that shit. So I can't remember how much they cost, maybe 50 cents or something stupid, but I would bring my money so I could buy five of them. And I was just like, oh, I love my sticks. It was the best part of field day for me because I suck at anything athletic.
No, I would look forward to that too.
That's what I look forward
watermelon,
to.
Watermelon. I love the watermelon.
Every single year until they didn't make them anymore. And I was always sad. I was like, whatever happened to my sticks? They just discontinued them. I was the only one who liked them.
Yeah.
And so that's my story about Jolly Rancher sticks. And I was so excited to see the ad here.
So there was also another
stick.
Maybe we'll go to Rocket Fizz out here.
Oh,
we'll
shit. Do you think they'll have old... They have old candies, maybe? Yeah. Vintage style candy.
Yeah, we'll find something for you.
I want a stick.
But on the back cover here, there's a... Because, this is a Star comic, not a Marvel comic.
For kids.
So you're getting ads for...
Kids.
Kitty kids.
Yeah.
Kids. We're doing ads for fucking Popples.
Yes.
So I vaguely remember Popples.
Oh, I remember Popples. Popples had a cartoon.
Did they really?
Pretty sure they did, yeah.
Wow. Everybody had a cartoon.
Yeah, that was the thing back in the 80s. Everybody had a cartoon. I'm almost positive Popples had a cartoon.
Do you remember Shirt Tales?
No.
I think they actually had a comic in this line here, but I remember I had Shirt Tales because it was one of those things where it's like, hey, kids, here's a fucking tiger with a shirt on it, and he has a mole friend, and then Shirt Tales.
I don't remember that.
But this apparently is Popples, which...
So you don't remember a Popple, and I'm almost positive that they had a cartoon, kind of like Rainbow Bright and the Care Bears.
Well, Rainbow Bright, of course, right, but...
But Popples are these weird stuffed animal... They're not bears. They kind of look like a bear, but not really. And they've got a pouch of extra... fabric on their butts, and you roll them up and they become a ball.
Yeah.
And then you push them and they go bop and all their limbs come out, and then you roll them back up and they go bop, and they've got a weird tail. This is the tail right here. See that little thing? That's the tail. I don't know the point of them, but they were so fun. They were so fun. I remember them. Look for them. Oh, see, yeah, get popping with Popples. Look for them as toys and tote bags and on all kinds of fun products and on TV, too. Find out what the furry fun is all about.
We better find that Popples cartoon.
I'm almost positive there was a Popples cartoon.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, I always wanted a Popple. I never
38
had one.
Years old, watching Popples.
I never had a Popple. I wanted one.
I feel like I'm a Carrie.
My friend had one.
Yeah.
My friend had a Popple.
I feel like Carrie had one.
Yeah, my friend had a Popple. Kathy and I didn't get them, but our friend who lived down the street got them.
I think
her brother got one, too, because there was a boy Popple. He was blue.
Popple.
Yeah, Popple.
I probably was just give me my Chuck Norris Karate Commando.
Yeah, I was not aware this was a thing. Katana. Who didn't do anything until, I don't know.
With the katana guy?
No, it's just all these people are we have all the guns, but we're afraid of Chuck Norris for some reason.
How else are you going to do a Chuck Norris comic if everybody's not afraid of Chuck Norris? I mean, that's kind of how you have
to do
it.
Can't he just, like, come in and do, like, a sweeping karate kick and knock all the guns down?
If this was written today...
Yeah.
Because it would just be written, like, ironically.
Ironically. I was going to say, if it's for kids, no one's coming into a school with fucking guns. If this is written for kids today. Right. That is not happening. 100%.
But if it is, Chuck Norris is literally walking in and just turning around... And kicking everybody at once, even if they're not within range.
Agreed.
And he's knocking them all out.
He's got an Inspector Gadget leg.
Uh-huh.
And then all the guns, and then he fights his way through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yep. So, but that's it for this book, Chuck Norris Karate Commandos number 1 from January 1987. You can find us on Twitter.
Oh, well, would you read the next issue? Because there's like, what, 4 of these or something?
I mean, I guess I could. I'm just curious about how more absurd can get.
I would 100% read the next issue.
I think I would,
it's
too.
It's so dumb. And you know how I love trash. This is trash. Mm-hmm. I would read it. 100%.
Yeah. Did you pay $2 for this?
Yes, I did. It was worth it.
I guess it was.
Yeah, this is one of those ones that was $1.99. And I was like, you know what? I can't leave it. I've never seen it before. I must buy this.
Look, you know what? Steve Ditko drew this.
Yeah, Steve Ditko drew this.
This is an anomaly of some sorts. And it's just very odd.
Who knows? There's not that many of these out there.
Yeah. Gotta hunt them down.
Yep.
I would read the next one. So. Yeah. So that's it for this book. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield. You can also find us on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever.
Yes, and you can email us at worstcollectionever@gmail.com. Also, you can check out my other podcast, I Could Talk Kayfabe with Joe Todaro, where we talk about not comics, but wrestling magazines. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, please go to wherever you get this show and rate us, give us 5 stars, leave us a good review. Apple Podcasts specifically, give us 5 stars. We would really appreciate it. This was weird.
It was weird.
And I'm glad we got it. So thanks again for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.